RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tina Lear is fighting a David and Goliath battle against the release of bacteria-infected mosquitoes on Maui, Hawaii. Ground zero, it seems, for biotech experiments. Lisa is an independent journalist, researcher, and activist who founded Hawaii Unites at hawaiiunites.org, documenting the truth about the Hawaiian Islands being used as testing grounds for the biotech industry. And Tina, welcome to our radio station. Thanks for coming on, beaming in from Hawaii. Beautiful place.
Aloha, Paul. So nice to meet you and to be here to share our story, what's going on over here.
First quick question, the recovery after the fires just occurred to me. How's that been going? We don't hear anything about it anymore, but presumably the aftermath is still there to some level.
Yeah, it's going very slowly. There seems to be some more recent progress where people are starting to be able to do the rebuild process, but very, very slowly. And a lot of people are still very much struggling from that. So I hope that people are still have eyes on what's happening here on Maui, because there are a lot of people hurting from, you know, it's been over a year and many things have not been resolved or handled in a way that is honoring the people of these islands who have been affected.
When I was reading out the intro before, bacteria-infected mosquitoes, I had this vision of some kind of movie, you know, like Dr. Evil's latest, you know, horrible plan, something like that.
Yeah, if only it was just a movie, but it's happening in real time, and it's being presented in this very slick propaganda campaign that has this appearance of conservation and helping the native birds, and that this very safe, wonderful thing is happening. And in the meantime, they really haven't studied at all what could go wrong here, and a lot of serious things could go wrong here. So yeah, it is a bad movie that we're in the middle of in real life.
So what's the idea behind it?
Well, so the concept that they're putting forward is that the native birds here, which are very much revered and part of the culture and the ancestry of the islands, some of those species of honey creepers, the specific birds that they're focused on, are endangered or threatened. And they are putting forward that that is because of avian malaria transmitted by southern house mosquitoes here in the project area of East Maui. Conservation area primarily. And so the point of the project is supposed to be to release these bacteria-infected male mosquitoes, is the intention. They are also accidentally releasing females. It's part of the sorting process that's inevitable, but they're presenting it as just releasing the males with this Wolbachia bacteria that is supposed to cause them to be incompatible for breeding with the females here. So it's presented as a suppression technique to suppress the population of southern house mosquitoes that transmit avian malaria to these honey creeper birds that are threatened and endangered.
So it's just one species of bird that's endangered in their thinking.
There are a few different birds that are the focus, but they're all part of the honey creeper birds.
Right. Species, family. Okay. Yeah. Has this ever been done anywhere before? Do we know?
The specific mosquito that they are using here on Maui has never been done anywhere in the world before. So this is the first standalone field release of Wolbachia-infected southern house mosquitoes. It's the Culex quinquefasciatus species. They do really, and there's so many different kinds of mosquito releases around the world, so it can get complicated to look at the different types, but there are mosquitoes released with Wolbachia infected, but usually it's Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, and primarily it's done where intentionally males and females are released in order to intentionally overtake the population. And it's supposed to suppress disease because this Wolbachia, you know, they're saying that they've found that it can suppress certain diseases being transmitted by the mosquitoes, the Aedes aegypti, that is. But this is a different species of mosquito that's never been used before. This has never been used in any way for conservation purposes. So this is the first time that they are, you know, presenting this as a conservation project. And also our project area here, 64,666 acres. It is the largest Wolbachia mosquito release of any kind anywhere in the world ever. So there's a lot of reasons that this is very experimental. And specifically, I would say this mosquito species, this is an issue because there have been no studies done to see if this will be safe, if these mosquitoes might be more capable of transmitting disease, because that can also happen. We have peer-reviewed studies showing that that can also happen with the Wolbachia. So we have a lot of concerns.
Okay, who's behind it and what do they stand to gain?
So at this point, we have a multi-agency partnership here called Birds Not Mosquitoes, and there are state and federal agencies involved and non-governmental organizations. Primarily here, it's our state Department of Land and Natural Resources, and then at the federal level, our National Park Service. There are other federal agencies involved, and then there are non-governmental, primarily conservation-focused groups involved. And, you know, the motivation, I would say at this point, we are aware of over $33 million in federal funding from the Department of the Interior. And these agencies are all benefiting from that. And there are larger plans, you know, moving forward for more funding having to do with grants and public-private partnerships and line item funding through our state budget and additional funding coming through the federal government. And they intend to do this into perpetuity per their own documents, per the federal documents for this project. And it turns out that this Department of Land and Natural Resources, which is one of the agencies we've taken to court, them and their board to stop this, that they have a lab here in Hawaii. And again, per these federal documents for the project, they intend to mass produce mosquitoes in that Hawaii lab. They have been funded to build out an insectary, and they want to do that into perpetuity and be releasing mosquitoes on these islands forever. And they want to advance into gene drives. And in that lab, they want to also produce CRISPR gene-edited mosquitoes. So
I think they call
there's a lot more to this.
Precision breeding now, I think, is the new cover term for...
Yes, those are called precision-guided sterile insect technique, PGSIT mosquitoes, the CRISPR mosquitoes.
I'm impressed that
the specific one. There's probably more types that they're looking at, but that's the one that we see.
I love the way you said that. Has it been, is there a proven case that the threatened bird species is actually threatened, or is it theoretical?
Well, I think that they do have numbers to show that these birds are declining, but as far as whether or not they can attribute that to avian malaria, we really haven't seen the solid data on that. There's a lot of agencies involved that do their different surveys and on different timeframes, but so far, we haven't seen any solid documentation to back their narrative that it is the avian malaria causing the decrease in numbers of these birds. And I will also say, you know, a lot of people feel an affinity towards these non-governmental and nonprofit organizations that work with conserving the birds. But a lot of the activities that they do, I do believe, are negatively affecting the birds. And they are openly capturing these birds and putting them in captivity. And so when they say there's only this many of this particular bird in the wild, well, how many have they taken and put in captivity? We don't necessarily see those numbers. So I take issue with even that narrative. But I will say, you know, it is pretty clear that the birds are declining. Why that's happening, could it have to do with all the human activity and interference? Could it have to do with them putting radio frequency devices on them when they release them back into captivity? That we've seen information specifically, Arthur Furstenberg, who many people may be familiar with as somebody who has been for decades focused on electromagnetic radiation and its effects on health. And he specifically did a guest article for our newsletter focused on this release of the birds that ended up most of them dying. And it appeared to him that it had to do with the radio frequency devices. So, you know, I don't think they want to look at any of that because it doesn't fit their narrative and really doesn't look good for these agencies that are supposed to be helping the birds. But we're questioning even that aspect of it.
Here's my suspicious mind working, Tina, overtime and overdrive. If you wanted to establish under a guise, which is maybe acceptable, wanting to save the bird life, a proving ground or testing ground for what mosquitoes can deliver, the payload, let's say, then, and this is in perpetuity, then this is a great opportunity if you wanted to do that.
As far as being able to manipulate not just the bacteria and the mosquitoes, but the birds and
to use mosquitoes as some kind of delivery system for whatever you might want to do in the environment.
Yeah.
You can see it playing out in real time, and you can do it endlessly under the, you know, the guise of saving nature.
Yeah, we're definitely looking at that because while it, you know, I will say there are a lot of people involved in these agencies who I think have good intentions, and they actually believe that they're part of something good and they're saving the birds, and they don't want to look at any of the solid information we're presenting from peer-reviewed studies and scientific experts and their own documents, the agency's own documents. But the issue is that even if everybody involved, which I don't believe it's true that everybody involved has good intentions, I think there's a lot of motivation here that doesn't have to do with actually helping the birds. And the problem is that we have seen no documented biosecurity protocols in the approved documents for this project. So if a bad agent wanted to get in there in the lab or in the field, I haven't seen anything where they've addressed this to prevent that. We also have no information on pathogen screenings of these mosquitoes. And they've withheld that information. You know, we did a FOIA request with our, at the federal level here, our Environmental Protection Agency, and they withheld the information about the pathogen screenings. We don't believe that they are screening for many pathogens that could cause disease to people and to the birds and other wildlife. So a lot can go wrong here, even if people involved have good intentions. Just the fact that they are believing that this is all safe and looked at and studied while we're pointing out these very serious issues, that's very, very concerning.
Containing these mosquitoes. What was the area that you mentioned before? It was quite a considerable area of the release, for the release, but you can't just stop mosquitoes flying across a particular line, can you?
No, and this is a huge area. It is, again, 64,666 acres. It's almost 14% of the entire island of Maui.
Okay.
It is conservation area, natural, you know, important area of our ecosystems, our watershed. And, you know, this is the entire East Maui area, basically, of the island. And yeah.
So they
have no way to contain it. This is not a self-contained situation. And so it's very much an open-air experiment on this huge area of our island, which is up against residential, you know, portions of that project area are close enough to residential areas to be concerned. The people of Hana and East Maui have been outspoken about not wanting this project and not having been informed about it and not feeling like they've been part of the discussion. But everything just continues to plow forward. And nowhere during any of this process, including our court case, our testimonies, their document that was put through to approve this project, have they addressed the issue of the wind drift. So with any pesticide, there's an issue of wind drift of that pesticide carried on the wind to unintended areas. And these mosquitoes with the bacteria in them are a biopesticide. So there's the same issue, and there's no documentation on any of that. And they don't even want to look at it. And it's a huge concern that you cannot release mosquitoes on the wind and say that they're going to go just to this area The wind can carry them, you know, we don't know how far. We would have to do
more than we think, probably. Probably further than we could ever imagine, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, look how far bees fly every day, and it's kilometres. Okay. Did you mention before that there's been no consultation? I can't believe that.
Yeah, they really did just the bare minimum that they could get away with. And they've said, you know, they will present to the public that we had all these different outreach, you know, events. And they did a few outreach, you know, they're doing a lot more outreach now that it's already in the works. They're going to the schools and trying to get everyone to believe their propaganda campaign here with the very beautiful pictures of the birds and, you know, telling everyone this has been done everywhere and it's safe. And, you know, they're lying about
safe
a lot of
and effective.
Yes. but leading up to this, when it was the opportunity to get input from the people, particularly the people of East Maui, no, I don't believe that they did sufficient outreach at all. They did the minimum that they could get away with to say they had done outreach. But when you listen to the Hana community, when we went out there, I went out there with our expert witness, tropical disease and vector expert, Dr. Pang, and he and I went out to Hana to present a presentation about our concerns. And everybody was very shocked, very upset. Why weren't we told about this? So for them to say that they've done, for these agencies to say that they did outreach to the community, clearly it was not sufficient.
So they just do things incrementally to get to the goal as they feel they need to do it. So first of all, you get it all set up. Then you go to the schools, you tell the kids. But the last people, if ever, to be consulted are the people who live there. I guess they got a strategy for that if you kick up too much of a fuss. Where are things at with your group then? And what are the chances of, because you want to stop this, right?
Yes. So we've had a court case in the works here since last year. We actually were able to start the hearing on a preliminary injunction and temporary restraining order to stop this as part of our larger case seeking what's called an environmental impact statement, which would require them to do far more comprehensive studies about the risks and potential significant impacts here to our environment, to the health of the people, the animals, the birds themselves that they're supposed to be focused on saving. We have that hearing in progress, and then the fires happened and the hearing was postponed. And then during that time, the state agencies put in a motion for summary judgment asking for the judge to just shut it down. We're not going to trial then, and to rule that this was done. And unfortunately, that judge, we believe, made a very flawed decision. And there are a lot of aspects of our appeal that address that. And so at this point, we have filed an appeal, and that is in the appeals court here in the state. And so that's in the hands of the appeals court, and we are awaiting their decision on that or any action they might take on that. And so, but we believe we have a very strong case to begin with, as far as them not following our Hawaii Environmental Policy Act to protect the environment and our health and to do things by their own standards of how these kind of projects are regulated. They absolutely did not do it. So they're undermining our environmental laws and calling themselves conservationists. And we have a strong appeals case, I believe, as well. So we are seeking a ruling that this be remanded back to the circuit court here in the state and that we go to trial as we were scheduled to do when this all got shut down. They don't want to face us in court, and we very much want to face them in court and get discovery documents and get this to trial.
And not being a science person necessarily, it's pretty obvious though, isn't it, that you let those mosquitoes out and it's literally like the genie is out of the bottle. There's no pulling it back. It's done, right? I mean, it's a one roll of the dice. If it goes wrong, well, don't want to think about it.
No, it's absolutely irreversible. And that's another thing they've misrepresented to the public, that if, you know, something doesn't go the way they intended, that they can just stop releasing the mosquitoes and that's the end of it. But the bacteria can live on forever. And that bacteria is a huge concern. That bacteria has
That's the payload. That's the payload there.
Okay, I mean, just to get to what part of the crux of our case is that this Wolbachia bacteria has been shown in peer-reviewed studies to cause mosquitoes to become more capable of transmitting diseases and to have an increased pathogen infection. So more infection of the pathogens.
Know. That's handy for them to know.
And they haven't studied at all to see if this species that they've never released before with the Wolbachia, the southern house mosquitoes, with the strain or strains, because we don't know if they're going to use combination of strains at this point. They're presenting that it's just this one strain. They haven't even done the studies to see if that strain and that species in the environment that they're releasing it in could cause the mosquitoes to be more capable of transmitting avian malaria is a specific concern, and West Nile virus, which birds and people can get. There are other diseases that the southern house mosquitoes transmit to people, including encephalitis, elephantiasis. This is a potentially Zika virus. The fact that they didn't study any of that before approving this project, it's absolutely unacceptable.
Tina, here in New Zealand, we have drops of 1080 poison into our bush, and that's to poison introduced species that are predating on, threatening the viability, because they talk about extinction potentially of bird species mainly. So they're dropping 1080, which is banned in virtually every place in the world, very poisonous substance, into the bush to kill the stoats and the possums and the rats and that sort of the introduced species. I'm wondering, and the argument is, you know, that we're saving the birds, and they insist that it's okay, though anecdotally we hear places are wiped out. There's nothing. There's no sound. Everything's dead in that area. Could it be that you might be able to flip, if the people who supply the 1080 don't have so much of a hold over people, to mosquitoes doing this work on the back of a project like we've just been talking about in Hawaii?
Yeah, I would definitely be on the lookout for any kind of seminars, things to do with your government agencies where they're in talks about mosquito control. And that's what happened here. This goes all the way back to at least 2016, where there were initial groups getting together, these agencies involved, other agencies involved, pushing through this agenda. And it, you know, took some time for them to work up to what they were actually going to do. But I would say definitely be looking for that. And one other thing I wanted to point out is that there is a non-governmental organization called Island Conservation that's part of the multi-agency partnership here. It's a worldwide organization, but they're part of the partnership here releasing the mosquitoes. And they are focused there in New Zealand with talks of releasing gene drive mice to address the same problem you're talking about. And I do believe that Island Conservation is behind some of the, I don't know if it's the specific chemical that you're mentioning, but they are behind a lot of those efforts to release chemicals to address these
to target mice the predators.
So now there is, it's in the works, and I would definitely take a look at it. I can send you a couple of links on that that I found where this Island Conservation, which is some of their scientists are apparently funded through DARPA here, which is, one of the agency, military, highly concerning funding when that comes into play. So, I would definitely be on the lookout for things coming down the pipeline, especially this focus on birds. I do believe what's happening here in Hawaii is going to be coming to all, areas all over the world with a conservation angle on this.
It's been fascinating chatting with you, Tina. Thank you for coming on our radio station, and good luck, because I don't know. I mean, it's such a common sense bypass unless you're wanting to do something else with the release, wanting to know more. That's my thinking, because you mentioned the other possible effects on humans. Well, that would be handy to know, if you're in that business. So Tina Leah from HawaiiUnites.org, appreciate your time. Really interesting story to follow. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.